I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove, a podcast based in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, with the purpose of exploring the performing arts. In this show, we take a look inward at an emerging platform for artistic expression, podcasting, a medium that has allowed shows like Around the Wood Stove to exist, develop, and reach an audience using internet-based technology. The Lancast is a hyper-local weekly podcast based here in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. It deals with a variety of topics through conversations with politicians, business owners, artists, and public figures. David Moulton and Daniel Klotz, the hosts of the Lancast, recently joined me in the Woodstove House for a conversation about the history of the Lancast, how podcasting is transforming the way we receive information, the effects of podcasting on traditional media, and what it means to get in the game and produce your own podcast. For more information about the Lancast, visit thelancast.com. Visit Around the Woodstove online at woodstovehouse.com and click podcast in the menu. You can also subscribe to both The Lancast and Around the Woodstove by searching the show titles in iTunes. So joining me in the Woodstove House, Daniel Klotz and David Moulton from The Lancast, Lancaster's one of Lancaster's podcasts. Thanks so much for being here tonight.
Thanks for having us, Jason.
The Around the Woodstove started out as a performing arts podcast, even though it hasn't really gotten there yet. It's been mostly a music podcast. But I find podcasting itself to be a form of performing art. I've listened to a bunch of different podcasts myself, and in doing it and recording them and sort of working with them, I find it to be a very kind of a new way of expressing. And so I thought tonight we would turn the microphones inward and talk about podcasting on this podcast.
So how meta.
Who better to do it with than two guys who run the Lancast, the Lancaster podcast that I listen to every week. And I look forward to it every week. You're definitely my top tier in my top tier podcast.
So. No kidding. Great. Great to hear.
Well, we are definitely not music also.
So. Yes. let's start with some introductions and tell us a little bit about your background. I'll start with David.
Okay. Well, I work in software support for Salvers of Kissel Hill, but my background has almost nothing to do with podcasting at all.
I'm a horticulturalist. It has to do with everything else.
Yeah, it has to do with everything. Daniel always makes fun of me because, like, everything we want to try, every idea, I'm like, oh, you know, yeah, I went to school for that or I studied this or whatever. And he's like, and just like, he glazes over and he doesn't care whatsoever about what I'm saying. But I'm a horticulturalist and a florist, and that's what my education is for. And that's why I work in the garden line of business, even though I don't work directly with the plants
sure.
anymore. I'm from Lancaster County, grew up around here, went to Living Word Academy High School. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. Like, living the life. I've got a great love for this county, and I'm discovering new things all the time.
How about you, Daniel?
I grew up in York County, across the river on the bad side, and moved away for college, and spent some time in Philadelphia and New York City. And when my wife and I wanted to move back to Pennsylvania to be closer to our families, I basically said we could move anywhere in Pennsylvania except for York County. So
you got close.
Yeah, I had actually said, you know, I could maybe move from New York City to Philadelphia or Pittsburgh, but we visited some friends here from college, and stayed the weekend, and you know, like I hear from so many other people, fell in love with it very easily and very quickly, the city especially. And I tell people I do a lot more here in Lancaster City than I did in New York City because, for one, I can afford it. And for two, afterwards, after going out and doing something, I don't have to commute,
yeah.
you know, half an hour to an hour and a half on the subway. So love it here. I blog about it as well as podcasting about Lancaster and what's going on here. I work as a social media strategist. But before that, I was with the Lancaster Chamber of Commerce, where I certainly learned a lot about what's going on here.
Oh, absolutely,
and, yeah. And kind of got a sense for the scene. But I really, really interested in place and in making a home in a physical location and on all sorts of levels, the political level, the theological level, and everything. And so Lancaster is really interesting to me, not just because I chose it, but because it's where I live and
yeah.
and you know, spend my time.
How did you guys meet?
through the podcast, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
That's true. It's the first time we met was, I forgot.
Yeah. I guess on Twitter, I was bored and I was tweeting about the, it was a year and a half ago at least. It was the Oscars.
The Oscars.
Yeah. And I was tweeting about the Oscars and I was just complaining because I was home and alone and bored. And Daniel was the only person responding. So I built up this rapport of like just making fun of these people. And back then the podcast was called Beards Over Babies. And we were like, let's get a guest. And I was like, Daniel blogs and this and that. I was like, he's big time internet. Like, we get Daniel, we'll get listeners. So I threw it out there and I was like, come on down. And Daniel
drove out to New Holland.
No, he drove out to Intercourse. Nope. Gordonville, that's where we were.
Oh no, it was far away. That's all.
Yeah, he drove out to Gordonville and we recorded, and that was the very first time that I met him.
Yep. Is that right? So that was the beginning of the Lancast, in a way, or how did...
I don't know. It's still up there on the... You can find it on thelancast.com. You can find that episode. But I was like, this is just a small little, you know, thing that two guys are doing for fun. And it's an hour long and no one listens to it.
Yeah.
So I can go on and... You know, I was working for the Chamber at the time. Yeah. And so much of what I was doing was taking minutes of what other people were saying or just kind of keeping my lips closed about my opinions or what I knew or whatever. And sure. So this was a chance to express myself. And I was, you know, so I kind of let loose on that episode.
Yeah, it was, you know, definitely an explicit episode.
So what would have marked then the beginning? Like what was the first episode as the Lancast?
First episode as the Lancast. Who did we interview for the first time? Gagan. Jeff Gagan. Mayor of East Petersburg.
At the time, he was the presumptive mayor-elect of East Petersburg.
Yeah, but he's mayor now.
The guests that we go after are artists, musicians, and public figures.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we also, we say professionals, too. Artists, professionals, and public figures. And public figures is the hardest one to get on the show. One, because they do a lot of interviews and all sorts of stuff, and so, you know, this is not a high priority for them. And then I think another thing is... it's a really a medium for people who are willing to become a little bit unguarded because you're not putting out a soundbite, you're talking for half an hour.
Right.
So I think that it's not as comfortable and it's certainly a less traditional, less accepted medium at this time.
When was that? When did the Lancast, when was it born officially?
It was July 12th last year that we switched our first episode of the Lancast. So, but where the podcast itself is...
And what's that? March. Jeff Gagan.
March, yeah, Jeff Gagan. Yeah.
Talk about how the podcast has changed since you started it, and was your, you know, has it become what you originally envisioned it to become, or has that vision changed?
You know, I don't know if since we started. If the vision has really changed drastically, but I think we've refined it. We knew that we wanted to talk like real people and get other people to talk like real people. We didn't want it to be heavily edited. We also didn't want it to be to sound like we were radio voices. So I think that was a clear vision at the beginning, but we've refined that to be, you know, we take a lot of steps and are constantly thinking about what can we be doing to make this seem as much like a conversation as possible. I think that vision has emerged, and this whole realization that we don't have a whole lot of civil, interesting, in-depth conversations with other people in our own community who are interesting as much as we should. We live kind of lives of isolation and mediation. And so... in a sense, you know, we're not great citizens, but we attempt to model to a degree what it's like to have a civil conversation with someone else.
But not only that, I mean, I like to call us second conversationalists. When I'm pitching the podcast to a guest, they say, what is it like? And I said, we want to have a conversation, but not just a conversation. We're second conversationalists, which means that we want to sit down with you and have the second conversation with the person, not just surface level stuff. We want to get a little bit deeper and a little bit more into what they're passionate about, not just like, oh, you know, I'm Bob and I own a car company, and you know, my car company makes this much money and I sell this much. I want to know, oh, I'm Bob and I love cars and my first car was this, and that's you know, what got me into selling cars, or you know, what, something like that, like just deeper conversation.
Yeah.
So you've already met the person and now you're into really getting to know them.
Yeah, we also, at the beginning, I'm just remembering this, we wanted to try to get people on the show to talk about things other than what they were known for or what they really did, at least what they did professionally.
Mm-hmm.
Try to delve into things that were of interest to them, or maybe current issues or something like that that they might have a unique perspective on. And we've kind of abandoned that to an extent, at least. We wound up splitting the show in half, and typically we'll take one half of that show now, at least, to talk about the thing that that person is known for or does professionally, and then another to pursue kind of a side interest or a side of that person that other people might not know about.
Kind of rolling the dice.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and definitely. We rolled and missed a couple times. So,
but not too long ago, we had a magician on, and early in the show, we would have thought, okay, it would just be really interesting to hear what a magician in our town has to say about, you know, city council or the cameras everywhere. That would just be interesting. But it turns out that it's actually really hard to get to the point where it is interesting.
Yeah. What was it about podcasting? What is it that got you into podcasting? Did you listen to podcasts a lot before doing them? Or did you sort of just jump right in?
Not a lot. I would say what really got me into it is I listened to a podcast called Yeah Dude, and it was just these two guys reading the news and just making fun of everyday people, and they were pretty harsh. I mean, if you're going to listen to their episodes, you need to be ready to be slightly insulted. But that's what got me into it, and that's what I wanted to emulate. And I think the very first thing that I did was with my previous co-host, Neil Hershey. We talked about Battlestar Galactica. That was our very first thing we did. it was just our you know, trial run. And from there, we tried to emulate Oh Yeah Dude, and it just, like, we couldn't do it. It was too difficult. What did she say? How could we live with ourselves, knowing that we let our show go? And ooh, what could we do with more time? We just gotta make this show. You know what we did was so lazy, but not listening to us would be crazy. So turn us on, give us another chance to be the best podcast. Cause when a week went by and a show went, a few people didn't know what to do. But when release a show, then you really will know we do this all for you. So tell me, cast.
So I understand that there are some parody songs in the history of the Lancast.
Most definitely. If there's one thing about me and Daniel, if you spend time with us, at least I would say an afternoon, we love to sing together. Like, it's not just singing by ourselves, but together we love to sing about whatever, and we'll just, like, have conversations and sing songs.
There's still lyrics from one of the songs on my whiteboard on my refrigerator.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So your lives are sort of like a musical?
I guess you could
like
say
fame,
that.
Like fame, you break into song.
Well,
I wouldn't say sort of like a musical. I'd say pretty much our musical.
Definitely a musical,
when we're together. Yeah.
When we were doing the Lancast for a little while, had two episodes a week. We were doing The Journey Continues, and that was like all us singing. We sang our theme song. We sang our outro. We would sing in the middle of the song, all sorts of stuff. And out of that came our parody songs. I love Weird Al from growing up, and I like to write parody songs. So
I for me, it's more of a Mark Lowry, because I was on the Christian music side of things.
And well, we produced three parody songs so far, and we have someone approached us about doing one for them, so we have one more in the work. Two out of three have been rap songs, too, because they're the funniest to us. Like, I think we like to make fun of the style of music as much as we do the lyrics, so that's right. How it works.
Oh, snap! Get your earbuds ready, because we're about to record. Everybody on the internet, download this podcast. but keep it on the down low. Re-record this. Let's go. I'm on Catch Porch. I'm on Catch Porch. Everybody look at me, cause I'm sitting on a porch. I'm on Catch Porch. I'm on Catch Porch. Take a good hard look at Kenyon's porch. I'm on Catch Porch. Stand your box. Take a look at me. Great recording style, like it's 93. Slapping high fives, waving at the car. You can't stop me, Dan O'Clock, I'm sitting on his porch.
Take a picture click, I'm on Kid's Porch Snitch. We drinking lemonade, take a slow sip. I got my sunglasses and my lappy toppy. I'm cleaned up, you at home, straight doing laundry.
I'm petting a dog, he's doing tricks and such. The dog is barking, making everybody look up. This ain't the pet store. This is real as it gets. I'm on Kid's Porch, Dan O'Clock. Don't you ever forget.
I'm on Kid's Porch and it's made of wood and he got a hummingbird theme, springtime and fly again. I'm the king of the world on the porch with Ken. If you're on the walk, then you sure can't talk. Get yourself up, this porch is real.
Forget land, I'm on.
What opportunities has podcasting presented to you that you sort of didn't expect to happen?
One really remarkable one is we got to broadcast, well, we recorded live at Pennsylvania College of Art and Design just as they were beginning their 24-hour design-a-thon, which is an annual thing, and that was a lot of fun. They did it once a year, they stay up for 24 hours, and we were actually invited to come and record there by their PR person. That was just amazing to be reached out to from a professional in that field saying, hey, would you guys come? And, you know, they didn't invite the news. They didn't invite a radio show. They invited the local podcast. And she also arranged for us in the first half of the show to speak with some of the faculty advisors and students who were participating. But then in the second half of the show, we got to talk with executive directors from the nonprofit organizations who are benefiting from the design work that was done. So that was kind of a full circle episode that was really just handed to us and organized from someone else.
That was a lot of fun.
And actually, if I can continue and interrupt you again. And out of that show, I was exposed to the quality of work that's done at that school. And so my company then decided that we were hiring a graphic designer, that we were going to focus pretty much on the graduating class from Pennsylvania College of Art and Design. We hired someone from that class. So that was, you know, discovering a new coworker was not something that I expected from starting podcasting.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty incredible opportunity that just sort of happened as a result,
yeah,
really, of the podcast. I think that speaks to sort of the power,
yeah,
of this, even, you know, as one small example, but really with only, 16 months being around.
We also got featured in a news story, which was really cool. Murray Cusick, who was our last guest, did a news story on us for Blue Ridge Cable. And that was a lot of fun because it came out of nowhere. Like, it wasn't anything that we had contacted them or anything. I just got a phone call, and she was just like, hey, you know, I really want to do a story on what you're doing right now. So,
Do you have a sense of what your reach is?
It's hard to measure it in number of people. Last month was our best month yet, and we had about 1,200 listens to, throughout that month.
I think we're actually a lot higher than that, though. We found our stats are incomplete.
That's
so
true.
This is going to be our first month with a more complete stat recording, and we're already showing that compared to what we were recording with before, it's almost we were only capturing about a third of what was reality.
Are you looking to generate advertising revenue? Is that sort of what your goal is, or a goal?
I don't want to say no, because I mean that's something that we want, but not in a like personal gain level. Right now, for us to be able to have advertising would basically be money that we just put directly back into the podcast to either pay us back for the money that we spent on equipment, or to actually first, probably before we do that even, is to upgrade to even better equipment.
Sure.
So, I mean, the better, it's kind of like a catch-22. With the ads, we can get better stuff, we can make a better product, which would then be better for the people advertising, but without that, we can't get there.
podcasting is like music production in the last 15 years, where the equipment's just gotten much better, and there's worldwide distribution through places like Amazon MP3 and iTunes and all these other places where you can sell your music. The playing field is leveled, and really podcasting does the same thing in a way, competing with other media like radio. You know, I listen to NPR shows. I don't listen to them on the radio. I listen to them via podcast, and I listen to your show via podcast. I don't hold one higher than the other. I listen to them all, and I look forward to them all, whichever ones I like. So I guess I would be interested in what your thoughts are on podcasting as becoming, I don't know, legitimate competition, or is it a way that people are going to get their news and their entertainment more and more, or is this, what do you sense? Where do you think this is going?
I think that Daniel said it best before. He said that, you know, most people who are listening to podcasts have generally tuned out the main broadcast news and stuff like that, and they're looking for something different and more personal usually. I think that yes, that's going to happen for sure, and I think that companies are going to be finding that this is where they're going to want to advertise. And you look at that, the different niches that podcasts have, like Papa, which is the podcast for
the advanced photography amateur.
Yeah, podcast for the advanced photography amateur, done by Carlo Gesner, and that's an incredibly niche audience, and he talks specifically about high-end cameras and stuff, and he has gotten great sponsorships from the camera company because they know, hey, people are going to listen to this, or the people are going to want to buy our stuff.
Right, it's targeted.
It's incredibly targeted. Yeah. So, you know, it all depends. We're hyper-local, so the people who are really going to want to listen to us are Lancaster County people, and that kind of, in a way, we've limited ourselves because we can only grow to a certain size, but at the same time, we can refine what we do. And I think that as podcasts refine to their niches, they're going to find greater audiences, and people are going to turn to them for more information.
People started podcasting, at least from what I can tell, it's just for something fun to do. Have you seen a transition in your listening of other podcasts, or in your just sort of being in the podcast world? Have you seen any kind of transition from a couple of guys getting together to hang out to a more legitimate or a more serious approach to creating these shows?
You know, the ecosystem of podcasts right now is allowing both. The total experimental. We're getting, you know, there's a couple new podcasts cropping up here in Lancaster that have started kind of the way that the Lancast started, as not having a voice, not, you know, just kind of getting on and recording themselves and slowly acquiring a voice. But then there's also highly commercialized ones. There's the whole Quick and Dirty Tips network of podcasts. Quick and Dirty Tips for More Polite Life, Grammar Girls, Quick and Dirty Tips for Better Grammar, whatever it is, and mm-hmm. Public Speakers, Quick and Dirty Tips. That's pretty, you know, it's not exactly not lucrative. You know, I'm sure they're making some money there. And it's also pretty tightly controlled. The hosts of those shows actually have to submit scripts and read from it instead of just having a looser ad lib conversation.
It seems like the spirit of these things, particularly the kind of podcast that you guys do, is a throwback to the original broadcast media. I went to school for communications, and we studied the history of, you know, broadcasting, and there was this there was an ethic, there was like sort of a community service component to that. Newspapers and radio, small local radio stations, which are, I don't know if they even exist anymore. I'm sure that in some pockets they do. I know there's one in Westchester that exists and serves that community. I'm only about 10-mile radius. But where I grew up, in a very small town in Western Pennsylvania, there was a very small radio station that broadcast on the AM dial and had you know, on-air classifieds where people would call in and sell their lawnmower and that sort of thing on Tuesday mornings or whatever. And they had news, and, you know, it was a full-blown commercial radio station that served 10 miles.
Yeah.
That's gone. I mean,
absolutely.
Generally, that's gone. And it just feels like, in some ways, that podcasting if you look at the kind of podcast the Landcast is serving that kind of need that is gone as a result of it. It almost reminds me of homemade print publications, you know, where people would photocopy newsletters and that sort of thing. And it's incredibly exciting to witness this and to be a part of it. But what's different about it is that it's so wide open, because anybody can publish.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think that changes things somehow. I'm not sure how, you know, but it has to change, because there's no... Even back in the day, you know, even going back to the beginning of broadcasting, someone had to invest a ton of money to buy the equipment and put those sounds over the airwaves. So somebody was in charge. And it's not like that with podcasting.
Yeah.
You know?
It's these days, the way I judge a podcast without listening to it is you look and see how frequently they're putting out. And is it, if it's infrequent, is it at least have a rhythm? And then from there, I look at their website. And you can almost always judge the quality of a podcast by the quality of its website. Because if they care about what they're doing, they're going to put the same amount of care into their website. And
that's
if they don't, then you're going to be like, you're probably going to wind up with a product that doesn't have as much work put into it.
Yeah, it's an interesting perspective. I mean, so there are ways of gauging that, but it's vetted by the listener instead of by a company.
Oh, right.
By a gatekeeper.
Definitely. I think there's I expect a more subtle subversion to happen, which is I expect that the non-trained voice kind of thing going on with podcasts is going to filter into, you know, traditional broadcast media. I mean, news anchors speak the way they do because there's this long tradition of bad broadcast quality where you had to speak like that in order to be heard over the airwaves and everything. And the quality of the broadcast is good enough now. And once you hear people recorded speaking like normal people, I find it really hard to listen to broadcasts of people speaking not like normal people.
Sort of like a canned radio voice.
Yeah, And tonight on the news we have, like, who talks like that?
Brian Williams, I guess.
But I see him, you know, trying to avoid it a little bit. Certainly when they go, you know, news anchors get off leave their desks and go out in the field and try to just talk to people. But I think we're going to see more of that.
So in Lancaster, there seems to be a growing number of podcasters, and it's cool. I mean that there's a medium out there that people can participate in just by typically the equipment that is around the house, a laptop, microphone, or something like that. What have you guys noticed in your time, in your year and a half of podcasting, as far as the Lancaster podcast scene goes?
It's growing, and the quality is growing, and there's been new ones come up, and some have kind of cropped off, and they aren't as stable as they used to be. But that plus the quality of the local stuff has definitely gone up. I mean, there's even some recent ones that have just popped up that I thought were really cool, and I'm like, wow, these guys are definitely going to keep up with this. They definitely have a future, and they'll have a great audience. They just need to find that audience. Yeah. So and you know, we're so focused on Lancaster that our audience is right here, but a lot of the stuff coming out of here, their audience isn't even in Lancaster County, which is really cool.
And that's another great thing about the you know, the medium of podcasting is that, you know, it can be a national, I mean, I know Russell's podcast, Russell Frost's What Drives Us podcast is, you know, that could reach a worldwide audience, and I'm sure it does, because they've got such a broad topic. And it's a relevant topic, and it's a very good podcast. Are there other podcasts? What are some of the other ones?
I think, as far as I know, the earliest one coming out of Lancaster was Geeks of Unusual Size, which is about video games, and pretty much a nerd show for, you know, video game lovers. And that was indicative of there wasn't enough, at that point, there wasn't enough of a local podcast audience to have a local show. And there also wasn't enough of a general public kind of audience to have something that wasn't a nerdy, you know, computer geek kind of subject matter. And then the next phase was the local shows, starting with Creatively Wired and then Beards Over Babies, which became the Linecast.
Yeah, we started like almost a week or two after they did or something like that.
And then some of the more niche ones reaching out to a more national audience.
Like Papa?
Seemed to follow. Yeah, Papa, What Drives Us.
What else we... Oh, Stick It In Your Ear Hole.
Yeah, Stick It In Your Ear Hole was an early one, too.
Yeah, I think that one started a little bit before Creatively Wired.
Okay.
And then... When did you start?
The first episode was March of this year.
Of this year. Okay, so you're more recent.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think after you came the Tourist Trap. I think they're the most recent one that I know of.
The Tourist Trap.
The Tourist Trap. And
the thing that the two of your shows have in common is that it's not a local show, but it's got a local flair to it. You're recording here. They're talking about things of national significance or, you know, kind of significance that transcends any kind of geography.
Right.
But they're also looking at it from acknowledging their perspective as Lancastrians.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. I've always tried to keep this podcast connected somehow to Lancaster. So if it was an artist that was coming through town, they were coming through this town.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, me Skyping with somebody in Florida and just talking to them about what they do. I always felt like that there needed to be some, you know, connection back for me to be a contributor to what Lancaster's doing right now creatively. And good.
Women Wise Marketing, that's another one that does.
Yeah,
that
Women does Wise Marketing. Kelly Watson.
Kelly Watson, yeah.
Listen to the Lancast. We're blowing your mind with a sweet design. Listen to the Lancast. We're on the net. Twice a week. We're blowing your mind with a sweet.
Was there a bizarre incident of any kind, anything that was just sort of out of the ordinary or that really caught you off guard in your experience?
Bizarre.
There's the time during the Joy Ike show when like $6 worth of change fell out of your pocket.
that was bizarre.
I mean, one of my favorite stories was when we had a show and I made an offhand remark about Elizabethtown on the episode, and just how I think I made a remark about how Elizabethtown could serve as a nice feeder program for businesses that could try out, kind of get their sea legs there in E-Town, and then move to Lancaster City where I live and serve me, where there's a bigger market. And
that didn't go over very well with the local political scene.
It was a total offhand remark and certainly reveals some of my, you know, Lancaster centric bias. But who was it?
Jeff McLeod.
Yeah, Jeff McLeod, one of the borough council members from Elizabethtown, listens to our show, heard that, kind of cocked his head and made a quizzical expression when he heard that. And instead of just getting bugged, he wrote a comment on the post that was just like, I was surprised to hear this, and that's not really how I look at Elizabethtown. And so I thought that was great. And was really excited to welcome him onto the show or invite him, and he accepted, and I was really glad for that because, yeah, someone actually listened to us enough to call us out on something, and we had a more meaningful conversation. And that's the kind of thing, like, if that had gone through, you know, the execs in a broadcast company, that would have never made it on the air because, you know, I would have listened to it later and been like, oh, that was stupid. Or someone else would have heard it and said, you know, this is kind of stupid, Daniel. You might not want to put that out there. And been like, yeah. But I put it out there, and it turned into a really interesting conversation.
I think that incident added some, just from a fan's perspective, from an outside, because I hadn't even met you guys at that point. It added some legitimacy to the Lancast. It really did. I was really impressed when I heard that episode when he came on. And I don't think I had listened to the one where you made the comment until after. Like, you know what I mean? I was just catching up on the
latest. We played it back too during the show.
That's yeah. And I didn't remember that for whatever reason, but when he came on it was just like, oh man, this is a legitimate sort of media outlet in a sense that you know what I'm saying? That you were able to then bring in this local politician and and have a dialogue about it, and a respectful, you know, civil dialogue versus, you know, just some flame war or something like that.
Yeah, it was even injected with humor, which was even, you know, you don't see that in traditional broadcast. That's something that interests me in general, is that that's something totally not found at all in a lot of broadcasts, even the kind of more conversational things, is humor and laughter. And yet that's such a normal part of everyday conversation with other people.
I think for me, something that blew me away, I think, was probably when Joy came on, because I didn't know what to expect, because she contacted us, and she's one of the first people to contact us and ask to come on the show. And playing, you know, I was sitting 3 feet from her as she played, and it was just amazing to see that. I mean, not just live, but to be like, wham, like right up in it. Like, I could just have like knocked her keyboard over if I didn't like the music, you know. You'd be like, eh, whatever, like, get out of here. Like, it wouldn't have been difficult. So that for me was pretty amazing. And then the second time that I can really think of being blown away was more Daniel being blown away. We went to Vincent Smaldone's house, DJ Image, and Daniel, we had to travel a little bit for that one, and Daniel was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm all the way out.
It was
out
late
here
at night in the winter.
Yeah, he was grumpy, and then like we get in there, and this guy's got these turntables and stuff, just blew our minds with what he could do.
Yeah.
And afterwards, we're walking out, and Daniel's like, I'm really glad we came out here. It was awesome.
It was really awesome. That was a great show.
Well, thank you very much for being here and doing this tonight. It's great to have the Lancast in the Wood Stove House. I appreciate you coming by.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, Jason.
Around the Wood Stove is a production of the Wood Stove House with inspiration from the creative works of Lancaster. Our theme song is the old-time traditional tune, Buck Dancer's Choice, performed by Jeff Sims and myself, Jason Mundock. Find us on the web at woodstovehouse.com.
Welcome to the journey continues with David and Daniel.
Klutz.